The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Man in Line's open line today through till 1 o'clock. Of course, tomorrow Michelle Hayward's going to be on. DOI Minister, so if you want to get a question in between now and then, you can email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682631. Or take your chance tomorrow with Michelle Hayward. Just a quick word about those social security payments which were due today, which have been delayed. There's been a technical problem. Something's gone wrong. Came to light this morning. It's now been resolved. A total of 560 transactions, the majority of which related to child benefit. They were affected. Recipients can expect to get payments into your bank account on Wednesday. Now, if you need to contact the Social Security team, it's 685656, 685656, or email childbenefit@gov.im. And details of how to apply for child benefit can be found online if you go to gov.im/child-benefit. But that all-important telephone number, if that's affected you, the problem with Social Security payments, predominantly child benefit, telephone number 685656. Let's get to the lines. Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
What's happening with this gale, Andy? What have you done to the weather?
Well, I just took a very deep breath.
Good on you. Look, I was going to talk about something else, but I've just something clicked, and I realised that Claire Christian is very much progressing within Timbald. I know they're off at the moment, out on the holidays and things like that, but she's, I don't know if she's taken a pill or something like that, but I mean, she's really, battling hard in corner.
She's a very motivated politician.
Yes, I think so. And I think we could be seeing a new chief minister there.
Well, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear you say so, Robert.
Well, I think there's something there. I think that Labour effectively are battling amongst themselves, and they've got they're trying to get the Manx vote, and they're trying to get workers kind of behind them and stuff like that. And I think that they're, you know, they quite often vote against each other, so they cancel each other out. So I think the rest of them, you know, they've got Rob Colter there, who doesn't want to be anything more than a MHK. You've got a few others there that'll chip in. But I think Claire Christian is the one that may step forward and go for it, really.
We'll see, Robert. But are you going to be standing in the Keys election next year, Robert?
I mean, it's not really for me. It's not really my prime time. I mean, I appreciate the comment and I appreciate the support, but I mean, I'm fit for it. I could do it, but I mean, it depends, because I mean, it's a bit of a cesspit at times, isn't it, Timbald? You get it's like character assassination quite a lot, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, it's what's called harsh rhetoric. It's called criticism. And put it this way, I wouldn't imagine anybody will go into politics with a thin skin, Robert.
No, I think you're right. So I think I'm a bit too, lefty orientated to get to. I can be quite right at times, but I mean, it just, you know, you got to get the balance right. And I think battling against David Ashford, as I would do anyway, because I don't like the guy, I think would create quite a performance. Mm. But we could get there. I think you just got to do it from where I am standing there, really.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, Robert. Thanks for being with us today. Well, if you haven't made your mind up, you got about a year to make your mind up, because the Keys election is next year. It's Thursday, the 24th of September next year. So I'm guessing from kind of January onwards, everybody will be jockeying for position. We'll be seeing who's intending to stand. And by this time next year, it'll all be coming nicely to the boil. And of course, you can guarantee you'll hear everybody. Anybody who's a candidate will be given space on Manx Radio, an interview and a video and stuff like that will be going around to the constituencies, to chat to everybody and all potential candidates. And then on Thursday, the 24th of September, come about 8 o'clock, it will all swing into action to see who will be our next crop of MHKs. Perhaps you. You never know. Maybe you. Maybe you're just wondering. Well, somebody commented last week that politics isn't a spectator sport. Somebody's got to do it. And if you don't do it and you don't like the person who's doing it, well, whose fault's that? I mean, it could be you. Howard's with us. Have you ever considered becoming an MHK, Howard?
I was asked many times to become a councillor, but never an MHK. And I like to look on the outside and fight back into it. Because once you get in as an MHK, you've got to follow the rules, which, as people know me, I've never done that for most of my life.
Right.
So on the outside, sometimes looking in is preferable. But it's a gladiatorial. I don't know about a spectator sport. That was always, but it is a gladiatorial.
Yeah.
And you go into an arena and you battle it out to, anywhere between yourself and your conscience and the rest of the MHKs.
Yeah.
But what I've come for, and it's on your programme, it's just been on the news actually, again going back to fibre with Manx Telecom. As I mentioned recently, I went down in May to the... I was in town and went to the telephone shop down there and I said to the young chap, like the changeover, bearing in mind, I've been a customer of Manx Telecom for almost 50 years. When I got the number that you see on your screen at the moment, probably, I've had that since it was a four-digit number, so that's how long I've been a customer. But at no time did he say down there when wanting to book a check on the facilities, etc., that there was going to be any additional cost. So if I was just one of many, how many people are falling foul of this particular sales pitch? The main instance was just to try and get you to change over. I looked at the difference in the cost of ADSL, what I'm on now, and the fibre, and it was minimal. It was, you know, when you work it out, it's not too bad. I was prepared to accept that. But since May, I've not officially heard anything from Manx Telecom as to what the situation is. But when I went up last week to the Cool, up to the Manx Telecom office, now, God help her, she was only on the... she was a receptionist and unable to answer the questions properly. But the answers I got from her was leading me to believe that the costs would be incurred by the Douglas Corporation. Well, I find that impossible because they wouldn't be allowed to as a ratepayers. But there seems to be a great lack of proper information coming out as to the changeover, and now I hear it on your radio and others on the paper that additional costs will be incurred to get fibre to your house. And nobody has been in touch with me. She had tried to ring somebody in the sales office, this is up at the Cool, and there's nobody there answering the phones. She did try, but the person that was in there was somewhere else doing something, and the other person, there's only two by the sounds of it, in the sales office at Manx Telecom, they weren't there. Now, where they work from home, I don't know, but I was unable to get a proper answer. And they said, oh, I'll get somebody to ring you back. I said, okay, I'll be in all day. And up to this present time, nobody has been in touch. So I still don't know if additional charges are going to be facing me when, or now it's if, I decide to stay with them and go to fibre or change the entire lot, which means I'm losing my telephone numbers, to satellite. And that is what could be going through people's minds now. And with Manx Telecom having themselves in the market, put themselves up for sale, the 10 million that they've got from the government, will sweeten that. That could be sitting in the pot somewhere to show that their balance books are looking quite healthy.
So, well, I mean, how do you feel about the fact that none of this was flagged up?
I'm disgusted, actually, because if I went in to buy a car, I would expect that salesman to tell me anything that was extras. My car, in particular, and I bought it new 12 years ago, they came out then, and they still do, with no spare wheel. Well, I said, nah, no good, I don't want that. I don't want these things that you pump liquid into the tyres to get you home. He said, okay, that's fine. He said, we'll take that one out, and we put a spare wheel in. He said, there'll be an extra cost incurred, but that's fine, and I've still got that spare wheel. But that was honesty. And this is where the Manx Telecom, who are supposed to be a local company looking after the population of the island, have they thrown a lump of that 10 million into the business sector and where their big fees are coming from? And again, to balance their books, leaving the people that's in houses, fibre brought in or already on it, are they going to suffer for it? But it needs to have something, and Cura, well, I don't know how far it will go down there, but they should be looking a bit more deeply into this because it's a vital piece of equipment. And they're telling us in 2029, ADSL is going to be cut off, regardless.
So what would you like them to do, Evan?
Be honest. I still haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anybody. And only I happened to go down a fortnight ago, I think it was, down to Intertown because something gone wrong with my phone. And the chap, he said, hey, hang on. He said, there's something here. It hasn't been processed, but they're going to do a survey, and it's got to go through the town hall and all this, that and the other, because they own the land, the property and everything. I said, well, that's fine, but why didn't somebody tell me? They're keeping these things very close to the chest. They're keeping the powder dry until the explosion comes with a big lump of a bill. And if I remember, one of your people that were on the program one time said he'd received one, or was going to receive one, for £3,000 to put fibre to his house. Now, that's a serious amount of money for something that you'd already got ADSL in. And it would mean you say, well, to hell with that, I'm going with satellite.
And this is kind of follows the tradition, really, the trajectory that's happened in the past, is that we as customers didn't ask for this. Nobody jumped up and sat, up and down and said, get rid of the copper, I must have fibre. Nobody.
No. I appreciated it appreciably better, but it's been forced onto us. And as a small island, do the likes of the other companies across, the majority of them use, I think it's British Telecom, and they buy sections of it to use, Virgin, EE and all them. Do they charge their customers a serious amount of money to get the fibre to their house?
Well, that'll be interesting to find out. I don't think it's anywhere near as prevalent as it is over here. But if anybody's got experience, how much do the telecom companies in the UK charge you for that? Because they've got a lot more competition. So I would imagine that the price is going to be less.
Yes. Oh, yes, I should imagine it would be, because the trunking, the cable ducting will be in, and they'll be using existing British Telecom cables. But again, they just buy into that. Now, Manx Telecom have Shure over here using the cables.
Yeah.
So are their customers going to be found to have a serious bill if they want to change over to fibre?
Right.
Plus the fact, I found I'm the only one on this particular road that's made application to go onto fibre. So am I going to get the entire bill for this, ducting, to come to my house?
Right.
And then it'll be utilised afterwards by other customers.
Well, that's a very good point, Howard. If you're paying for the first lot, surely they should get it to everybody or nobody. And if everybody has it, just share the bill out between the number of people.
And I think somebody will correct me on this, possibly the school here, Annika School, that was had fibre, I think, introduced 2 years ago. So the ducting, etc., must be in the vicinity. So why won't they come and let you know just what sort of prices? Yeah. I don't mind if I have to pay a small amount, but I'm not paying any serious amount on it. Yeah. I will leave the Manx Telecom and go to somebody else, as I say, satellite. But just going back to your programme, 2 weeks ago, and I looked at that, I went through on the podcast last night, I was on, and I'm going to use the word complaining about the state of the paths up at Douglas Head.
Yeah.
I went up to the Obscura on Saturday. One of the people up there, volunteers, was taken ill. So, and lo and behold, the whole lot, I don't know who done it, DOI or the corporation, but the whole lot, right round to the Solway Harvester Memorial, right down to the lighthouse, and all the paths down there have all been cut back.
Well, that's fantastic.
Including the steps that were a trip hazard. So somebody within the powers of government...
Well, fair's fair. Let's just say well done to them for reacting. Maybe it is they didn't know. And maybe half of the time when you mention something, they say somebody's got to report it.
Well, this is what they have... People working there to, within DOI and the council... As I said to you the other day, get out of your vans and walk around. Then you will see. You don't have to wait for somebody to have an accident. It's too late then.
Good. Okay, Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, then. Take care.
All right, 23 minutes past 12. It's Wilf now. Hi, Wilf.
Hiya, Wilf. Hiya, Andy. When I was on the other day about our harbour,
yeah,
that was all correct, apart from I got one thing wrong. Of the exhibition in the town hall. I thought it was the exhibition in the town hall, but I got it wrong. There's another exhibition in the town hall at the moment, if it's still there. It was there on Saturday.
Right.
And that, the one for the harbour will be coming along sometime, and I will let everybody know when it arrives. But there is an exhibition in the town hall at the moment, which is actually worth going to have a look at, because it's put in by the Chamber of Trade, and they've got big maps of the of Ramsey, and a lot of stickers there, and you write what you want on the sticker, what you would like in Ramsey, or what you would like Alton, and you stick it on this board.
Right.
And there's quite a lot of good suggestions, various things. You know, but a lot of kids coming in and asking for more swings and more roundabouts and things like that.
Well, you know. Wilf, you can't have too many swings and roundabouts.
Well, that's it. Yes. What Howard has just said, that he'd been asked several times to go to the Keys, but never got round to it.
Yeah.
Well, I've been asked several times to go to the Keys, and if I'd known Howard a few years ago, maybe the two of us could have got together and two old fellas could have gone in and caused a riot, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, when that exhibition on the wall does arrive, give us a call and let us know, would you?
I will do. I certainly will.
All right. Right. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. All right.
Cheers now. Right. The Isle of Man internet network is currently being upgraded from copper to fibre. It's a big project taking years to complete, and it's costing, you got it, millions of pounds. But a debate started about who's going to pay for certain aspects. Who's going to pay for certain aspects of it?
By 2029, the copper network that's currently installed on the island is being turned off. That means everyone wanting to use the internet will have to have switched to the fibre network or a satellite provider by then. And it's not an easy feat for Manx Telecom, which is carrying out the work. But questions have been raised after some homes have been told they might have to pay to have the necessary infrastructure installed. Clarissa lives in Onchan and has been explaining her situation.
We received this slip through the post warning us that you have to take action and that you have to upgrade your infrastructure and the infrastructure which is owned by Manx Telecom, which is going to your property, in order to upgrade to the fibre. But then on the slip it was telling us that the fibre is mandatory and the copper will be switched off. So there is no option at all to keep your copper and to carry on as things are. You have to go to fibre, which is a more expensive package. Okay, but you also have to pay due to the age of the property, the type of the copper wire, and something technical. You have to pay for them to come and do maintenance on it and replace it. So they said that you can do it yourself and they will provide you with the kit and you can, you know, do a little bit of a DIY job, taking it from the roadside or wherever the terminal is inside your property. Or you can ask them to do it, which would be a cost of £12.50 a month for 24 months, so £300, on top of your usual very expensive package, which is also increasing anyway. Or you could hire somebody external to come and do it. But the fact that some people on the island have to then pay for this or do it themselves, whereas some people don't.
As Clarissa has said, not everyone will be able to have the fibre network installed for free. But Manx Telecom's Chief Technical Officer Hugo Van Zyl and CEO Gary Lamb say it's all to do with how old your home is, where it was built and how.
Because of the fact that the duct only goes to the wall, for example, of the premises, there's not ducting from that wall or from the curtilage to the house. And that actually then requires the customer to make provision for that. And we can think about that somewhat similar to a water deployment where the water pipes that goes to the house is on the owner's property and their responsibility. And in the same way, you can think about that as the ducting from the curtilage to the home. We need some kind of a ducting to get to the house that we can then push the fibre through and make that final connection.
Amy Griffiths getting to the bottom of the fibre. I just wonder what you... I mean, let's get one thing clear. It says Manx Telecom on the label. There's nothing Manx about it. It's owned by a company called Basalt Infrastructure Partners. Basalt, one of these enormous companies that owns... Well, it's got 32 sets of investments. Basalt Infrastructure Partners. They've got an absolute... hoard. They've got about 30 or 40 people who are running the darn thing. They've got investments here, there and everywhere, and Manx Telecom is one of them. Manx Telecom was bought in 2019 by Basalt Investment Partners. Because previous to that, it was HG Capital, and then it was previously was part of O2, which had been part of British Telecom, which is where we came in when Manx Telecom became Manx. But Basalt Investment Partners, so when it says Manx Telecom, forget the Manx bit. It's not Manx, it's Basalt. And remember, just like Manx Gas, nothing to do with the Isle of Man, apart from the fact they sell gas to us in Guernsey and Jersey, and Carla are the people in charge of it. So two big slices of our infrastructure are owned off the Isle of Man. And remember, we don't have any Manx-based airlines. The only things that we do have, Manx utilities, electricity and water, and of course, thankfully, the steam packets have been brought into public ownership. Previously, it was anybody who wanted to buy it, or buy the debt, or buy the profit. But now that is with us. So forget it says Manx Telecom, OK? It's Basalt Investment Partners. They're the people who own it. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just listening to Howard talking about footpaths, seems to me that they've cut down the amount spent on footpaths by about 59% in about the last 25 years. And I think Ewan mentioned the other day that there's only five people that are actually directly responsible for managing all the footpaths on the island. It sounds like a big job, doesn't it?
Well, unless they've got lots and lots of shears, or they're very mechanised, or they work very quickly. I mean, it's going to be an uphill job from May onwards, from May until September. They're going to be running around like, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do see some people actually walking around with a pair of hand clippers, and they tend to just, if they see something sticking out, they just do it anyway. So yeah. perhaps doing it en masse might be better.
Well, that's it. They could issue everybody with a free pair of secateurs, couldn't they?
Well, it'd be a lot cheaper, I would suggest. But in the news recently, Matson Shipping Line, who are headquartered in Honolulu, one of the big players in shipping in the Pacific, have suspended all electric and hybrid vehicles from its fleet of ships. This follows other shipping and ferry companies. We've spoken before about Havila Kystruten, who have banned all electric hybrid and hydrogen vehicles outright on their routes. The Japanese shipping company Mitsui OSK Lines has suspended transport of all used battery electric vehicles worldwide. Raja Ferry Port on Koh Samui in Thailand has a total ban on EVs. The Greek ferry operators, including Superfast, require EV battery charge to be no higher than 40% when boarding the ferry. And even the HMM Korean ferries have a similar mandate. And as far away as New Zealand, inter-islander ferries require that EVs avoid rapid charging for at least 2 hours before check-in, although I'm not quite sure how they're going to police that. And the action of these ferries follows the total loss of the Felicity Ace huge car carrier in early 2022 off the Azores, the Fremantle Highway in July 2023 off the Dutch coast, and that killed a crew member, and the Morning Midas cargo ship in June this year off Alaska, and that despite the specialised CO2 suppression and compartmentalisation.
What conclusion do you draw from that, Julian?
Well, I've not seen any published safety bulletins from our steam packet company. I'm just curious to know. You've got one of the largest shipping companies in the world has just outright banned all electric and hybrid vehicles from its fleet, and they're citing fire risks. I'm not getting at anyone who's bought one of these things. However, you know, it's one of those things. If it goes, what's going to happen? You've also got Allianz, the insurance company. Their commercial global head of marine risk consulting, Captain Raul Khanna, has recently said that existing fire regulations and systems on shipping are not controlling the growing threat posed by EVs on vessel decks. That's a direct quote from the global head of Allianz Commercial Risk Consulting.
Well, as has been said before, Julian, once the insurance companies decide something, that's what happens. And at the moment, the insurance companies seem to be, how can I put it, sitting on the fence. They're neither terribly pro it or terribly against it. Remember, it's all down to money in the end. If it starts costing the insurance companies too much money, the underwriters will be given instructions.
Yeah, it's like, and you know, we talk about the Manxman having 1,000 people, including staff on board, but it's not forgetting that the Mananen is an aluminium-built Seacat. So the melting point of aluminium is half of that of the steel in the Manxman. So all the structural integrity is going to be lost much faster. So you've got, you know, you'll end up with warped loading beams and all kinds of things going on with this. I am trying to fearmonger, but it would just be nice to know if the head of Allianz Insurance Commercial is saying that the fire suppression systems are not up to it.
Well, it might be nice to know who the steam packets insurers are.
Yeah, and don't forget, the escape chute is a polyurethane-covered nylon chute. I'm not sure how well that does when you've got, EV fires that are running at over 2,000 degrees Celsius, which is hotter than the melting point of steel.
All right.
Anyway, thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Julian. All right, 25 before 1. With regard to having to pay Manx Telecom to have your property connected to the new fibre network, says Alan, I decided to look what the situation is in the UK. I found an article from a person whose house is 5 metres from the roadway and has had to pay £2,167 to get connected, 5 metres, 15 feet. This is the balance after Plusnet actually paid £1,000, and this is a cost that's on top of that by Openreach. Plusnet is one of those providers. Openreach is part of BT. It seems to me we have little option but to pay for our own household connection here on the Isle of Man. I find it frightening, as I'm a pensioner, can't afford anything like this. The internet is the only connection I have with what's going on in the outside world. Thank you, Alan. Good to hear from you. This is Phil, who said, I switched to fibre last year and was fortunate that I could do the work myself. Do it yourself. If the switch off is 2029, can people defer having the work done until then? Or do Manx Telecom have the right to say when the upgrade is done at your property? I'd put it off if I hadn't already done it. Well, 10 out of 10 for doing it yourself, Phil. Summerland 50, Remembering for the Future exhibition is on until the 9th of August. It's a week-long commemorative exhibition exploring the years before, during and after the fire of the 2nd of August 1973. It's on at the Villa Marina Arcade. It's been organised by the Summerland Memorial Limited. That's on until this coming weekend, the 9th of August.
Welcome to the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Miller Chaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Miller Chaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be.
Meet Jane.
When Dad began forgetting the little things, we knew we needed help. Mum Benham walked us through every step.
Real stories, real solutions. Secure tomorrow today with Mum Benham.
Do you want to love Mondays? Are you looking for a change or wanting to take the next step in your career? Contact the recruitment experts at Itchy Feet Recruitment, who have the best connections and hundreds of live job vacancies with leading employers. Sign up online and receive the latest jobs via email or SMS. You can also submit your CV or book an appointment at a time and location that suits you. Visit itchyfeet.im. Love Mondays again with Itchy Feet Recruitment.
Quadlock is the strongest and most secure mounting system in the world for integrating your phone, camera or accessories into your outdoor pursuits and for your car, van or motorhome. See the Quadlock display at H&H Motorcycles in South Quay, Douglas.
Junior Tinmold sat last month on a very interesting, thoughtful and at times provocative sitting it was too. A motion which considered whether wind turbines should form an essential part of the island's future energy supply was amended by students who expressed concern that the potential damage to biodiversity and habitats should be considered alongside any benefits of using this renewable energy source. Find out more on Agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. It's good to know that a new generation of potential politicians clearly have a passion for Manx politics.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
22 minutes before one. Thank you, James, who just said, me again on Douglas toilets. Just when you think the situation can't get any worse, I was driving down the prom yesterday, Sunday, and the Queen's Prom toilets were closed. The snack shack at the end of Victoria Street was closed. A shambles. There used to be two ice cream stroke refreshment kiosks on the seaside for the tourists. Either get these facilities back or I submit we don't need a tourist board. Here's a radical idea regarding closed toilets. Get some portable ones, says James. And Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy? Have you got your trampoline strapped down today?
Funny enough, no.
It seems to be the most important thing on the news now. It's not like, you know, beware of this or strap your trampoline down. It's the most important thing when it comes to weather, isn't
well,
it?
Well, sounds like those parties at Africa House.
Oh, that's another thing we won't dive into. I was talking to a couple from Glasgow this morning. They were here for another day because there's no trains from Preston onwards up to Glasgow or Scotland. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, what happened in the old days? It was now that you can't travel on the train, all trains have been stopped. If you were in Peel 50 years ago, they'd be saying, by God, boy, it's blowing a hoolie today, but now it's a fret of life, isn't it? Interesting. That was a good one before as well. Give everyone secretaires. Perhaps everyone could go out and start chewing government as well.
Well,
that
there
would be
you
helpful,
are.
Wouldn't it? Just a few things. It was a busy weekend. Peel Carnival was on and Nobles Park Fun Day. And congratulations to Fenella Castaigne for putting the carnival on. I mean, people, as I've said before, are getting short of people to run these now. So, you know, fair play. She's a lot of aggravation this year to put it on, but she did it. I was at the Summerland service. I popped there on Saturday nights to watch the little service at the site at Summerland. and a lot of passionate speaking going on there. But I do think it's time to move on. I think it's time to build on that site and move on, and not leave it as an eyesore, which really is a poor memorial. I've got a memorial there sorted. I think it's time to move on from that. Also went to Jimmy Carr's show, and I would say, after listening to Jimmy Carr, there's no reason why Katie Hopkins can't perform in the Villa Marina. Jimmy left nothing to the imagination. So that's a good point on that. And I popped into the Friesland Band and the Onken Silver Band were playing at St. Peter's on St. Peter's Church on Saturday night as well. What an excellent performance that was. But not many people there. Maybe 30 people, 40 people. And
wow.
What an excellent performance it was.
Hmm.
Going on to the you're talking about the fibre and everything there. Of course, now companies have clued on to the fact that everyone can work from home since COVID. So, you know, everyone's now demanding high-speed fibre if you've got rental properties and stuff like that, because even government now, they're desk sharing, so people are working from home for 2 or 3 days a week. So everyone now, the individual has got to pay for high-speed fibre for tenants if they've got them in. So that's a bit of a change around as well, isn't it, Andy?
Mm. Okay. All right. Good to hear from you, Joe, and thanks for being with us today.
Cheers, Andy. Bye-bye.
Okay, and I want to go to... it's Stephen with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. I wonder, could I just make a couple of points about the high-speed fibre and the changes that are coming?
Yeah.
And it just strikes me that our legislation is not keeping pace with these changes, and I'll just illustrate some points. There's been certain suggestions on media that the post offices, due to the change of government wanting to move relicensing vehicles online and other post office facilities, that they're going to move them online, it would appear that phone lines, broadband and internet and fibre are no longer a luxury for people. They are a necessity of life. And I feel that it is now time for government to look at what legislation covers these companies, because after all, they are virtual monopolies. People haven't got a lot of choice on the island to go to another provider. There's legislative changes, I would submit, that need to be considered, of how they're going to protect the consumer from this new enlightened world we're in with broadband and fibre, especially where government itself is forcing people to go away from analog services, such as the My Card, and people getting their payments in cash. The government is saying there's no facility to do that. Well, how will people get their money in the future if there's no post offices? How will people post mail? I believe there's advertisements for buy your post online, your postage online, and the van will come along and collect your packages.
Yeah.
Well, how do people do that if they are not online and can't afford it? Should there be hubs set up in various locations around the island, paid for by government to enable people to have these functions available to them? So I do feel, Andy and listeners, that it's time for government itself to get involved and look at what legislation is required.
Yeah, that's right, because there will always be people, as you say, who are late to the party where technology is concerned. That's not their fault. It's just sometimes people are late to the party. So surely we're either going to be digital or we're not. So if the government wants us to go down this path, surely they should go around and make sure that everybody is at the party and has all the requisite connections and this, that and the other. And then we can move forward. But if we're letting people lag behind, as you say, that surely is something government should look at.
Well, I would say most definitely it's a government responsibility to have these connections available, or at the very least, have provision where people can use these facilities and be guided through how to use them. It's one thing for government to say, we are going to do this, and then the semi-quasi arm's length post office to say, we are doing that. But if they're denying a number of people who, for whatever reason, can't afford or can't use or don't want to, then it's up to them, it's up to the legislators to make sure this provision is provided. After all, these are monopoly companies and we're handing them the ability to make big profits. There's no regulation as far as I know on that, but I feel that it's government that should introduce legislation now to make sure that everybody is able to be connected.
That's interesting. I've just got a message in from Lee who just said, yes, it's either a universal service or it's not. You can't be almost universal. It has to be universal.
Absolutely, Lee is right. It has to be a universal service or it's not a service at all, and that I say. But there's also concern, will a number of post offices in areas decline? Will they be closed as there's no longer any ability for them to make a profit? In which case, the post office has to change and their charter possibly needs to be changed, that they have to provide some social provision. I think the current chair, Stu Peters, is proudly says all the time, we're not here to provide the social service. Well, he's elected by the people he represents to provide these things. He's not there to represent the post office in Keys. He's there representing the people, the constituents and the wider island community to the post office. And it's up to our legislators to get these things right.
Okay.
Similarly, with the telecommunications, it's up to our legislators to get the situation right for us.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. Here's a message in from Marion who just said, you said Manx Telecom isn't Manx. What do you mean? Well, it's called Manx Telecom, yes, but quick lesson then, okay? The Isle of Man telephone system used to be part of the British Post Office, which then became privatised and became British Telecommunications, BT. And we were always part of the Liverpool Telephone District. In 1985, the Isle of Man government announced a 20-year licence to operate the telephone system on a tender process. Manx Telecom won it. That was BT. British Telecom created Manx Telecom as a subsidiary. Cable and Wireless competed and didn't get it. Cable and Wireless now own Shore, of course. So British Telecom created Manx Telecom and they got the 20-year license in 1985. British Telecom then split. BT Wireless became O2. Do you remember O2? So that was and we became part of O2, if you like. Manx Telecom was then sold to Telefonica. The Spanish people bought it, didn't they? When O2 wanted to sell it, Telefonica bought it, and then Telefonica sold it to HG Capital in 2010. Are you following this? And then HG Capital sold it to Basalt Investment Partners after it had been floated on the AIM market in London. That's where we are at the moment. Do you ever feel you get him passed around like past the parcel?
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
You're invited to celebrate the Woodburns' 130th birthday on Saturday the 9th of August, 12 till 8 in the gardens opposite for a free family fun day. Face painting, bouncy castle, garden games and magic with cookie and candy. Proudly supporting Crossroads and sponsored by local businesses.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, quality through and through, great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
You get more than you think, but all that you need when you
shop local with EVF.
Because your local EVF filling station isn't just the place for fuel. It's where you can get delicious food to go. Chilled drinks, wines and beers, barbecue and summer essentials, from ice creams to surfboards, plus a great range of local products. Ellen Van In Fuels. Fill up, fuel up and get all you need to go. Open till late.
Shop local with EVF.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 8 minutes before 1. Somebody just texted in to say, never mind pass the parcel. It's more like lucky dip. Adam's with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. Are you all right today?
Very well. Well, it's turned out a lovely day, hasn't it?
It is a beautiful day, Andy, yeah. I'm just ringing up today. I was listening to the Chief Minister the other week when you had him on in the studio. And to be honest, Andy, all that stays with you after the programme, or for me anyway, is that he couldn't commit to anything, could he? There was absolutely nothing that he could commit to doing, achieving in the time that his government was, in the remaining time that his government has, before the next election in September next year. So there was absolutely nothing he could commit to. And all he really represents, and all he really does, and all his government does, is continue from the previous government. There's a continuation from government to government, and no matter who gets elected into the House of Keys or the Legislative Council, still the same policies prevail, and the same people, things still move in the same direction. We're still being told, he said that his government was addressing the issue of immigration and they were tightening up a lot on immigration. Well, they're not really. They're just copying the UK, just bringing in the same regulations as the UK so that the Alamance got a weak spot for asylum seekers and people coming from, you know, abroad. So what is the point in electing people if they're always going to do the same thing?
It's been a very interesting listening to Julie Edge recently, who's been dropping big hints about immigration on the Isle of Man. And certainly, and I think something we need to, because it's something that's never happened here, but she's talking about people trafficking and people being, you know, almost forced labour. Now, we've heard no hard evidence about this, but the fact is we all need to keep our eyes open about, you know, people that we've never seen before and where they're working, because we don't really know. We don't, you know, as you say, there are obviously some, a lot of people have come since COVID, and then again, a lot of people left after COVID. So we've got lots of new people on the Isle of Man. Well, that's fine. The Isle of Man's always had new people, but we have to keep our eyes open regarding the work permit situation. And it will be interesting to see how it plays out, Adam.
Yeah, definitely, Andy. But I mean, immigration is always the answer. The government is always more immigration. And I know, I think you probably buy into that, Andy, because I was listening to the programme and you did seem to support the idea that always need more immigration.
Historically, Adam, more people have left the Isle of Man than come to the Isle of Man. It's always been a problem. Lots of people either come for a while and then go, and then there are lots of younger people who leave the Isle of Man after university and never come back, or don't come back for 20, 30 odd years. That's just the way. Some young people just get entranced by what happens in UK big cities, things that can't happen here.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of career planning and skills, Andy. They need more career planning and skills. They need to go into schools. There needs to be proper career departments in schools. They need to have a life plan. So the students need life plans from when they leave school as to what they're going to do in life. You know, they may the plans may change along the way, but they need to have an idea of where they're going.
Yeah.
They need to know what the options are. And immigration, Andy, is putting the island's house prices up all the time. Immigration into the Isle of Man needs more development. More development, less fields, less farming, no protection of the countryside. And Andy, all the time house prices going up and all the time the birth rate falling because the best contraceptive is high house prices. And if you stopped immigration, ended the work of Locate Isle of Man and got rid of it, or changed it just to re-attract Manx people and the Manx diaspora back to Isle of Man, then you would reduce house prices. House prices would fall. The birth rate would increase, and in future, people wouldn't need so much immigration to the Isle of Man. So there is an alternative way of looking at it. And you know, people need people careers. Andy, look at the careers available in the Isle of Man: e-gaming, insurance, and accountancy. Not everybody wants to work in e-gaming, insurance, and accountancy. People want jobs of social value and self-worth and creativity.
Yeah.
And Andy, the creative sector, what does the government do to attract any of the creative sector over? I was talking to somebody on LinkedIn who was an entrepreneur, a space entrepreneur, and he was going to develop some sort of product for rockets and things, you know, some sort of part, manufacturing parts in the Isle of Man for solar arrays or something similar. And he said the minister didn't even know what a solar array was. He said that was the minister they had at the time for enterprise. The Isle of Man was trying to attract the space industry. Didn't even know,
okay.
Andy.
All right.
Adam,
OK, we've got to go because we're out of time, but we'll talk more about this in the future. Thanks for being with us today, Adam. Tomorrow, the DOI Minister, Michelle Haywood, MHK, is on. You want to talk about the Department of Infrastructure tomorrow? Well, thanks to Chris and Chris on the phones today. Back tomorrow, and have a fantastic Monday.
WINT.